webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Let's get ready to rumble! Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It's Hump Day, Wednesday, September 15th, 2010. The only September 15th, 2010 in the history of humanity. Welcome in on this midweek edition of GKO. Glad to have you with us. We've got a heavyweight duel on tap for you tonight. A special edition of the Gospel Revolution webcast. If you saw the email, if you saw the Gospel Revolution webcast Facebook invitation, you know we have the kid from Houston versus the veteran from California, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn, and it's actually going to be a death cage match because the gospel will be in there as well. That'll be coming along later on in the webcast. You are not going to want to miss that. We encourage you to get in early and often if you want to be part of this webcast tonight. We've got lots to do. So Sean is waiting in the Tampa Bay studios at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260 if you want to talk to us this evening. Sean is waiting to take your call, get you online right away, but we do want to give plenty of time for that death cage tete-a-tete between Brother Osteen and Brother Hinn. And the man that will be refereeing tonight's contest is live at the home offices of the Gospel Revolution, ironically, in Houston, Texas. He may actually be leaning a little bit in favor of his fellow Houston resident, Joel Osteen. But I think he will be fair and impartial, as he always is. Please welcome online the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Good evening, Brother Glenn. How is my gospel revolutionary sidekick tonight?
We are tag team partners, my friend. We have our tights on. We are ready to go.
That's not a pretty thought.
Well, it's just the visual. That's what you got to do on radio. You got to give those visuals. What happened, beautiful humans, is we came across these video clips of Joel Osteen, the mealy-mouthed Joel Osteen, hedging his bets and dodging Larry King. As we've talked on so many occasions, as so many of these evangelical leaders have done on the Larry King show, who, of course, is Jewish, and, you know, Larry, as you'll hear later on in this Joel Osteen thing, I mean, he just says, so Jews go to hell. And we have never, whether it be a Jerry Falwell or a Pat Robertson or a Billy Graham or even a Franklin Graham, Joel Osteen, Benny Hinn himself, they never answer the question directly because they're embarrassed. They're ashamed of the gospel. Well, we are not ashamed of the gospel. I'd be ashamed of the gospel that they share anyway. And then, right as you know how you go on YouTube and then one topic leads to another, there was Benny Hinn attacking Joel Osteen for his appearance on Larry King. So I told Sean, Michael, I said, we've got to get these clips online, and so we are ready to rock and roll with them tonight. But we're going to save that for the second half of this extravaganza. We've got so many emails, as we noted last week, to get to. How about we fire away and see if we can get through as many of these as possible? You up for that?
Let's crunch through these things.
Yes, we love it. And as I was telling Michael earlier on during our show prep earlier this afternoon, that I am a very, very strange human being, because as I was going through these video clips, I was seeing other video clips, and I was just having the best time seeing the insanity and the idiocy, the inconsistency of people commenting on the gospel. And, you know, some people enjoy sports. Some people enjoy musicals. Some people enjoy politics and history. Some people enjoy the arts and crafts and knitting. But I enjoy thinking about these things. It trips my trigger.
I'm a very strange man, I know. The knitting type, Glenn.
What?
I would have pictured you as the knitting type, actually.
I am not the knitting type. I'm only good with my hands in certain situations. This email comes from Warren Emmerich, or as he signed it, BJ Emmerich. Didn't tell us where he was from, but he says he enjoys listening to the webcast every week.
Awesome.
Even though sometimes he doesn't listen live, but he always checks out the archive, he says. He said, I was reading in Isaiah 53:11, where it says, in part, my righteous servant shall justify many. I did a word search on the word many and found out 9 different definitions. Of the 9 definitions, only 1 referred to all. However, it did not apply to Isaiah 53:11. Can you help me understand your teaching on Isaiah 53:11? Is it your teaching that the word many means all in this verse? If so, can you explain, please?
Well, I think that his observation of the term many is first off, it is correct. It has many definitions, and actually the it's one of those where probably several words could have been selected. I would compare that, because it's talking about many. Because it's talking about many, we have what's going on?
Yeah, they can't hear that, Michael. You're going to have to just fight through that.
Okay. All right. I'm hearing aliens. I'm hearing aliens. But anyway, the thing that we would compare, that I would compare that to, is Paul's teaching in Romans, where he's talking about the term many. About that where in Adam many were made sinners, and that then by Jesus many are made righteous. By comparison, we know that the many pertaining to Adam is all, and so the terminology for the word many really has to be taken in its context. And so in the context of the book of Isaiah, we know that Jesus came to redeem the world. So the righteousness, in fact, when Isaiah talks about that righteousness, it says that righteousness would flood the earth as the waters cover the sea, and that there would not be one place that the waters of God's righteousness would not flow. So in cases like that, you really have to back up and look at the bigger picture. And if you look at Isaiah chapter 53 54, all the way through those numbers in the 50s and even in the 60s of Isaiah, the affirmation of that this being for the entire planet is really very crystal clear. And because, like I say, one of the comparisons in Paul's teaching in the New Testament is about the many that are made sinners, and then comparing that to the many that are made righteous through Jesus.
Right. So, BJ, hope that helps. BJ Emmerich with that question, and we are so happy to hear from people via emails. You can always email us 24/7. Whether you listen live or on the archives at webcast@gospelrevolution.com. That is the email address to send your letters and questions. That's the way we primarily correspond with people, unless they call one of the office numbers or call me directly. It's webcast at gospelrevolution.com. The hour goes by so quickly. We sometimes just don't have enough time. We have a lot of emails, and the thing that is so beautiful about having a webcast versus just email correspondence is we get to hear people's hearts and take calls. And we have a dear brother online right now that we heard him. We heard him. You didn't hear him because Sean had muted him, but we can hear him in our ear, and I was so happy to hear him. And Mike doesn't even know who I'm talking about yet. But all the way from Esteban, Saskatchewan, the very talented and lovely Mr. James Gustafson is online. James!
Oh, how are you tonight?
Awesome, James. Good to hear you.
We are so happy to hear from you.
I think you heard from me earlier. I yelled at my wife to get me a different phone.
Yeah, that was all right. It sounded fine to us, but as I said, Sean had you muted, but we heard. But
yeah,
did Gail get you a different phone?
What's that?
Did Gail get you a different phone?
Yeah, she did.
Okay, well, she's another beautiful human.
Right.
What's going on up there in the North Bay?
What's that?
I say, what's going on up there in the North Bay?
Rain.
Yeah. No. Well,
that's
not
why
fun.
I'm home tonight. It's raining here, and we cannot harvest.
You know, Mike,
well,
is going to be coming up when the weather's not so sweet up there later on this winter, you know, back in Calgary.
Right.
Don't sound so excited.
Well, did you say he's coming back to Calgary later on this winter?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that.
Yeah, well, now you know.
There you go.
More information will be forthcoming, folks, so be staying logged on for that. So what's on your heart tonight? What do you have to share? What do you want to tell? What do you want to ask?
Well, nothing. I just thought I should check in because, you know, I wasn't at the spring conference, and, you know, and I've been very busy, so I wondered if you even knew if I was alive yet. So.
Yes, well, we're glad to hear from you, and thank you for participating in the recent pledge drive. Am I pronouncing Esteban correctly?
We say Esteban.
Esteban. All right, so the answer is no. Glad you're not
of,
doing it correctly.
You're thinking of Gloria.
Yeah, well, it's kind of a Latina version of Saskatchewan, Esteban.
Yeah.
So, it's good to hear that you're alive. In fact, a lot of you beautiful humans that, you know, we go some time without hearing from you, it is nice to hear from you, whether it be in an email or in a call like this with James, because our boy Pep Washburn, actually, our Wisconsin correspondent, just had a hideous car accident in Colorado 2 days ago, and he almost was killed. He's not dead, which we're very happy to report. He was banged up pretty good. Nobody was killed. Some serious injuries. And yes, it's important, James, to stay in touch. And have you been listening to the webcast at least?
Yes, I get the archives. And you know, your comment about them fueling us up from week to week is very, very accurate.
That's awesome.
And I enjoy them thoroughly. And I get to them whenever I can. So. But I think I'm up to date.
That's awesome. One of the things that I would like to bring up while you're here with us, James, is you're pertaining to the passing of your sweet sister, Ruth, and who I had the privilege of getting to know, and I think she had some good comments about the gospel bringing her some peace in her last days here with us. And but the thing that I wanted to bring out was I got a letter from James, and he wanted to know what CDs he could get just to pass out to people just in a memorial to his sister. I thought it was a really good idea. And, you know, I really did think about that, James, as to which one, and I knew you were going to get several. And I thought, well, maybe I should tell him the largest one. That way we'll get a lot of tape sales. But no, I didn't do that at all. But the one that came to me was the single that we have on Attaining Perfection.
Right.
And so I know that we got some of those ready for you. I don't know how many actually that you needed. But just that single CD, when you're trying to introduce someone to the gospel, I think that one single CD on Attaining Perfection, it really is a wonderful place to start, so that's what we recommended. How is that going, James? Have you been able to get those? Are they there? And are you passing them out yet?
I got the one package yesterday, and I got the and it was there was one of two packages, and the other one didn't show up until today. And so since we can't work in the fields, I listened to the video version of the Perfection one.
Right. What did you think?
I love it. It's great.
Do you think it's a good place to hand a good one to hand to people that know nothing about what you're into and what you're understanding and believing?
Well, that's why I watched it today, just to know what was in it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Anybody that I talk to becomes so argumentative right away. So I just left it alone.
Yeah.
And my sister had requested this, that after being at the convention, she said, how come more people aren't adhering to this? And then when she was passing away, she said, maybe you could use some of the money that I have left over to share this with others. And
that's amazing.
Particularly
I did not
our
know
family,
this.
And so that's why I made that request.
I did not know that part of this story, James. That is beautiful.
Yes.
That is really something.
That's very touching.
I got a little of a clump there. You know that Jewish term, James?
No, I don't know it, but
it was made famous by a Saturday Night Live skit, but it's a well-known Jewish term. It means just kind of emotional.
Okay.
Wow.
Michael, when somebody hears this message and they ask that question, that's a very honest, heartfelt question.
Yeah.
Why don't more people adhere to this? How would you answer that?
Well, number one, they've not heard it. And I would put that right at the top of the list, is that they've just not heard it. And as James has said, you know, you try to present it and they still don't hear it because the argumentative stuff comes up. And I've known James for years, and I've never heard him become argumentative with anyone about anything. And
I don't know. He sounded pretty strong about getting Gail to get him a different phone. You couldn't turn that argumentative. It was instructive. I'll say.
Yeah, that was.
That was not argumentative. You are correct, sir.
No argument about it. But I mean, this is my true persuasion. They just haven't heard it. And in the church community, I mean, even as we've found out with the video that was made by my friends down in Alabama, they're warned. People are warned not to listen to the gospel at all. And which quite the opposite, we encourage people to listen to what we believe isn't the gospel because we think it speaks for itself, but we would like for people to listen to the gospel also because we believe it speaks for itself. But that just the number one reason is that they just have not heard. You know, Paul says that they, you know, you cannot believe until you've heard the gospel of peace. There is no believing anything until you've heard the gospel of peace preached. And you know as well as I do that how many people have heard the gospel of peace? How many people have ever heard somebody stand up and tell them that the war is over and that it ended 2,000 years ago? We heard on the video again making reference to that. You know, there's another judgment coming, the great explanation, which isn't in the Bible, of the great white throne judgment and the judgment seat of Christ and how these are different, and one's for believers and one's for unbelievers, and there's all of these great swelling teachings, and that explanation isn't in the Bible. But the gospel of peace is the entrance into the heart pertaining to the ability to believe the gospel. And just like with the CD that we sent James, I think that the understanding of perfection, you've got to understand why God's not angry with us. And the only way that God could not be angry with us is perfection. Because God was angry with everything that wasn't perfect. And in understanding perfection is a wonderful door that also opens up to understanding the gospel of peace.
Exactly.
Because this is where people are tripped up.
Well, one thing's for sure. We have and will continue to make our best effort to get this message out.
Yeah.
And with people like James and Gail Gustafson and all you beautiful humans, and with plans and the ideas and the thoughts that we have, it's really just a question of it hitting that viral point, that critical mass point, because the message is going to get out. When we play later on, James, as Mike said, we'd like to have people hear the legalism. When we play these segments of Benny Hinn and Joel Osteen compared to the gospel, I mean, it is so blatant. And as Michael often says, just give them 45 minutes with somebody who's open-minded at all. So we're on the cusp, and we may see this thing.
And this actually happened, Glenn. I mean, we got a case in point. Just last night I sat with a new friend, and he openly told me his favorite Bible teachers were Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland. So, I mean, I don't have to say any more about what his belief system is. He also graduated from the Texas Theological Seminary 3 years ago. And he was willing to listen to me, and I sat and listened to him. He had some really good things to say of things that he was seeing that was kind of wrong with the church. But then I was able to grab his attention, and for 45 minutes I shared the gospel, and it was over with. He understood. He'll have, as all of us have had, thousands of questions about this particular and that particular. But in 45 minutes, that's all it took. A Dallas Theological Seminary graduate whose favorite teachers are Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland, bam, gospel of peace, gospel of grace, locked in.
That's it. Well, James, thank you for participating.
Okay.
And let us know that you're alive.
There's dry weather up there.
Okay.
Glad that you're breathing.
Yes, I am.
Thanks.
Okay.
Give
Goodbye.
Gail our love, too.
All right.
There's James Gustafson from Esteban. See?
That's nice. I just called to let you know I'm here.
That's awesome. From somebody who wanted to let us know somebody wasn't there. So this is from Patty Stern-Jacob. Hello, I hope this gets to the right person. My mom, Bonnie Thompson, should be on your mailing list. She ordered and supported the gospel revolution for many years. Mom passed away on August 12th of this year. We are so saddened, but alas, we know she is with the Lord. Please take us off your mailing list.
That's cute. That is cute. Well, we are happy for their confidence in where their mom is. We are also confident of that eternal hope that we have. And in fact, it's not a hope, it's a reality. Eternal reality, really, is what we have to call it. And
I
think we should leave it on the mailing list.
Yeah, I don't know. It just kind of struck me funny. Well, yeah, there's something about the gospel that allows you to deal with the reality of mortality better, too. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it
really
sucks. I hate it. I hate when people die. I hate losing loved ones. I hate the thought of it. But the Bible says, I mean, this is the understanding, is that the gospel brings stability. It doesn't bring physical healing. It doesn't bring prosperity. It doesn't bring healed marriages. It doesn't stop people from thinking about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. But one of the things, if not the thing, that the power of God does, which is the gospel, is it stabilizes the heart and soul, Michael.
Absolutely, and it stabilizes the heart and soul through all of those things. And I mean, your whole perspective of all of those subjects begin to change, because none of these things are the source of your identity anymore. Your health is not your identity. Your finances are not your identity. You know, none of these things are your identity. Your sexuality
if your children are serving the Lord are not your identity.
Yeah, the whole nine yards. That's the powerful thing about the gospel, is that it removes the issue of faith from circumstances to identity. Please understand that the issue of the faith of the Son of God and the faith by which we have been redeemed, that faith has nothing to do with our circumstances. It has to do with our identity. Every degree that you apply faith to circumstances is the degree of faith you lose in understanding who you are. Because the circumstances, based on whether or not, quote, your faith works, will begin to tell you who and what you are. The sad thing about it is, it's not even good if you think your faith got you healed. Because now you're thinking that you're something that you're not, based on your works or your faith. So it doesn't make any difference whether you think you failed at faith or you succeeded at faith. Faith being applied to circumstances is faith being detracted from the reality of who we are and the true identity that we have.
You just credit some positive circumstance in your life as God blessing you.
Yes, absolutely.
That would indicate that for some reason you're, at least at that moment, somehow specially favored by God over other human beings.
Yeah, and the power of the gospel is the absolute understanding that we are one, that there is no one greater, there's no one less than. And see, this is not just the spectrum of that humanity is all one. This is not just that. Now, it does include that in the realm of humanity, we are one. But in relationship to God, we are one. God is one, and we cannot separate that being one, whether it's pertaining to God or humanity, it's just one. So there is no separation between the two. And to begin to measure any circumstance spiritually, please understand, if you measure any circumstance with a spiritual equation, to any degree that you measure circumstances with a spiritual equation, is the degree that you're taking away the validity of the understanding of who you are through the faith of the Son of God.
That is powerful. Well, this is Glenn Klein online. It is the Hump Day Spectacular, known as Gospel Revolution webcast. Mike Williams. We are going to take a break. When we return, we're going to get to some more emails. And then the big bout of the night, the title match between Joel Osteen in one corner, looking very skinny in his tight powder blue shorts. In the other corner, Benny Hinn not looking as skinny as he used to with that bad comb-over with the purple shorts and the gospel. It's going to be a cage match to the death. You're going to enjoy it. We'll get some more emails, too, when we come back right here on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
What do you want to do?
What's your heart say? How many people have wound up married because it was supposed to be the will of God? These are the things that you're all upset about. What would you like to accomplish, regardless of what age you are? Do you know how many people's lives have been paralyzed by sitting back waiting to figure out what the will of God was for their lives? I hate that doctrine. I absolutely detest it. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
That was just a sample of what Mike Williams said when he spoke at the 3rd Annual Gospel Revolution Convention in Calgary. Mike taught the book of Romans verse by verse from beginning to end, and you will never hear Paul's letter to the Romans taught like this. Connie Nelson told me after attending the convention that it changed her life, and she will never see the Bible the same way again. Vic Dobrynin called it groundbreaking stuff, and David Dwyer of Brisbane, Australia, said it felt like he had just been through a 10-hour detox program. This 11-hour series entitled The Book of Romans Revealed is available on audio CDs for $88, plus shipping and handling, or you can download it right now for just $44 at gospelrevolution.com. You have to hear it if you're going to believe it.
Well, speaking of David Dwyer from Brisbane, Australia, our next email, Michael, is from David Dwyer of Brisbane,
awesome.
Australia. He says, Mike, do you have any information on the role of the church in one's life? I'm having to rethink all these structures at this point in time. I don't want to totally disregard them, but I'm struggling. And that's Dave Dwyer from Australia.
Awesome observation that David's beginning to make, and here is the harsh reality is that church, the term church, and the religious structure where people attend have nothing to do with each other at all. The term church simply means the called out ones. Now, while Paul wrote letters to the church at Ephesus and to the saints here and at different times mentioned the church at different places, there is no place, ironically, that Paul or even Peter, James, and John ever said anything about going to church. Church was the people. And
right.
there's never a mention, to my knowledge, of a going to church. We were going to church in Jerusalem. It's just not there.
Right.
It speaks of the church at Jerusalem,
right,
or whatever city.
Right.
But there is no such thing as as church being something you go to. The church is what we are. So you can't go to what you are. The reason, I think, David, that you're having this struggle is because, first off, you have to separate this terminology. I think it's vitally important if we're going to have a book that we refer to as our reference source, that we actually get the terminology correct. At least we can understand what's in the source.
Right, and I love how you said that. We're not saying that our reference source is the Word of God, but
yeah,
we are referencing it. It
we
is
are
our source of reference.
And for
God's sakes, let's get all the references. Just and we got a great comment about the word many. Somebody did a little research, which hopefully we'll have a chance to get to tonight, if not another night. But let's get the terms right. We don't even have the guy's name right.
Yeah.
We don't even have the name of the Lord right.
Yeah.
remember, folks, that Jesus Christ is not the Lord's name. We don't even have his name right. His name is Joshua in English. In Hebrew, Yeshua. It means salvation. What a fantastic understanding to know that the Messiah's name is salvation. The church is not a building. It's not a place where you go. It's not a place where you go to pay your tithe. The church, Michael, and correct me if I'm wrong, the church is everybody.
It is, and that is the understanding that we have to, and that's why it's vitally important to sever our understanding of church being a building or a place. Now, I'm in no opposition to a building or a place or a gathering of people, but I think it is important that we understand that we are not going to church. Nobody's, you can't go to church. That is a physical impossibility. But to have a gathering place, that's it would all depend on what they're gathering for. Many times Paul's teaching is, I think, taken wholly out of context, especially the fact that it's in the book of Hebrews, where Paul said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as some have done. Now, Paul was talking about going and hearing the gospel. Now, and these people were assembling themselves as a church. Now, assembling themselves together. And no place did Paul say, you know, do not forsake going to church. There's just not, if that was church, why would Paul not take the opportunity to use it? He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. But and even in that, you have to read that in context, is what Paul was persuaded the people were assembling themselves together for. It was for learning and understanding the gospel. I truly believe, as I've said for many years, if Paul stepped into most anything that we understand to be an assembling of the self. In fact, if he said it was church, I think Paul would first off say, please forsake the assembling of yourselves together.
Paul would say, WTF. That's
yes.
What he would say.
And but see, we just take these statements like Paul's statement and just make a blanket statement. Well, you know, there is not a fundamentalist Baptist who would tell a Catholic to not forsake the assembling of themselves together. There's not a Catholic that would tell, you know, a Baptist to, you know, don't forsake the assembling of themselves together. They'd be saying, forsake your assembling together and come to our assembly. But some people actually have respect to places, other people's assembly modes. But that all said and respected, the fact of it is the term church has to be looked at for what it is.
And I think, David, that's
why you've got that conflict,
David,
going on inside of you, is because you haven't resolved the term church yet. As soon as you do, then I think this will be understandable. And then you'll decide whether or not you go together with certain people.
That's exactly what I was going to say, was that just follow your heart.
Yeah.
Go as long as you can stand it. And get your fill. We're going to revisit church now, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to hear from two of the most world-renowned ministers of legalism. Two sides of the same coin. We've got Joel Osteen and Benny Hinn. Joel Osteen, who's got the big Lakewood Church not too far from where Michael is webcasting right now in Houston, Texas. Benny Hinn's got the big church in California, but of course he does these big so-called healing ministries or healing services all over the world. And Joel was on the Larry King Show, and I'm so glad we got this clip before Larry King retires, because I don't know that the new guy on CNN is going to be having so many ministers on. Maybe he will, and maybe he'll pointedly ask, as Larry King has asked so many times. People criticize Larry King for not asking the tough questions, but he's put this question to every evangelical minister, so-called minister, that has been on his program. And actually, the question is posed by a caller. Larry King follows up on it. And then we're going to talk about what Joel said. Then we're going to hear Benny Hinn's response as the Battle of the Legalist Titans ensues right here on Glenn Klein Online.
Phoenix, Arizona, hello.
Hello, Larry. You're the best. Thank you, Joel, for your positive messages and your book. I'm wondering, though, why you sidestepped Larry's earlier question about how we get to heaven. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, and the only way to the Father is through him. That's not really a message of condemnation, but of truth.
Yeah, I would agree with her. I believe that.
So then is not going to heaven.
No.
Well,
here's my thing, Larry, is I can't judge somebody's heart, you know. I don't know. Only God can look at somebody's heart. And so, I don't know. To me, it's not my business to say, you know, this one is or this one isn't. I'm just saying, here's what the Bible teaches, and I want to put my faith in, you know, in Christ. And I think it's wrong when we go around saying, you know, you're not going, you're not going, you're not going, because it's not exactly my way. I'm not going to be the God.
You believe your way.
I believe my way. I believe my way with all my heart. But
for someone who doesn't share it,
well,
it is wrong, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know if I look at it like that. I would present my way, but I'm just going to let God be the judge of that. I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
So you make no judgment on anyone?
No, but
I about atheists?
No, I just, you know what? I'm going to let God be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell. And I just, again, I present the truth, and I say it every week. You know, I believe it's a relationship with Jesus. But you know what? I'm not going to go around telling everybody else. If they don't want to believe that, that's going to be their choice. God's got to look at your own heart. God's got to look at your heart. And only God knows that.
You believe there's a place called heaven?
I believe there.
All right. So, there's Joel just doing the politically correct thing. Michael, if Joel Osteen believed that there was a place called heaven, which he says he does, and he believes in a place called hell, which he does, how in the world could he not take a more definitive stand?
Well, if that wasn't the Texas two-step, I don't know what is. I mean, my goodness. The song, the dance, the romance, and everything else was all wrapped up together. It is frustrating because, see, the only thing I want these guys to do is say what they say and say it and stick to what they say instead of, because Joel does teach that if you don't believe in Jesus, you're going to hell.
Right, and that woman said that, and this is, I know that the woman didn't mean exactly what she said, but she said the truth, which was that statement that Jesus is the only way, it is not a statement of condemnation.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. But here's the thing, just like we've noticed, that things from before the cross to after the cross, it's the same principle turned upside down. Just like with forgiveness. Before the cross, Jesus said, if you don't forgive, God will not forgive you. After the cross, Paul teaches and says, now you and I forgive because even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So you see, the same principle of forgiveness applies. Before the cross, it is you forgive, then God will forgive. After the cross, it's we forgive because we've been forgiven. Before the cross, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. After the cross, the great revelation and understanding that it is Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life, but the Father found his way to us through Christ. We didn't find our way to God through Christ.
That's awesome. All right, so here are two guys, Osteen, who believes that you must accept Jesus to go to heaven. He won't say it on Larry King. He gives you the little opportunity on his internationally seen television program to say that prayer, and then he assures people that because they said that little prayer, as he says that little prayer.
The little prayer.
The little prayer.
Little teeny tiny prayer.
That is the thing that is the difference between heaven eternal, a place of eternal peace with God, streets paved with gold, angels singing, the whole schmear, and eternal condemnation burning in everlasting torment. This little prayer.
Little itty-bitty, teeny-tiny prayer. Just say
but on the other
bitty,
side
itty,
of the same coin. And this is a much longer clip, but we're going to have a lot to talk about. It is our good brother, Benny Hinn, who sees Joel Osteen on Larry King. Joel's been on Larry King a lot more than Benny. And maybe a little jealousy popped up in here. But here's Benny Hinn's response to not only Joel Osteen, but the concept of these seeker-friendly churches that really don't want to condemn anybody. Here's Benny Hinn.
Unless America sees the power of God, America's going to go down the tubes. Do you know what's going on out there? Can I be honest with you? I said, can I be honest?
Stop the tape.
Up.
Stop the tape. First, I know communication. I don't know a lot, beautiful humans, but when you say, can I be honest? Can I be honest with you? That's a telltale sign, Michael, that somebody's about to lie.
Or they've been lying all the time up until then, and now we're finally being honest.
Let us continue with Benny Hinn.
I am so stirred up, I'm mad. I'm angry. I heard a pastor on Larry King. Dear God, I got so angry. You know, there's nothing wrong in getting angry. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not.
All right, hold on. Stop the tape. Or stop the computer. Michael,
stop the breath.
I thought that if you are angry even at your brother, that you've committed murder, according to the ultimate interpreter of the law, Jesus himself.
Yeah, that's the way Jesus taught it. And but you know, we'll always find the lesser road for sure. If there's the first that'll give us a break, we'll find it for sure.
That's a classic example of taking a verse completely out of context. Be angry, but sin not. Okay, continue.
That coward, that's what I'm going to call him, a coward. It's exactly what they are, is cowards.
All right, hold on. We can agree with Benny on that one.
Absolutely, but Benny would do exactly the same thing on Benny Hinn. I mean, on Larry King. They
right.
all sidestepped it. Every preacher that's been on there has sidestepped Larry's question. So I am a Jew. I don't believe in Jesus. Am I going to hell? They all respond the same way. There's no need in coming down on Joel for this, because every preacher that's ever been on there has sidestepped. It doesn't make any difference who it is. The most hardline, Pat Boone, did exactly the same thing when he's been on there several times. Larry asked him if he was going to hell, and of course only the Lord knows. And everybody that's been on his show, he asked that same question. Not
they don't
a single
talk the
evangelical
same way on
has
TBN
answered.
Or on Praise the Lord or on the Benny Hinn Show as they do when they're on Larry King.
Yeah, they're totally different people, and they lie every time. Their doctrine says Larry King is going to hell. How unmerciless of them not to warn him. Can you imagine claiming to know the truth, that him being that Larry King is a Jew, and if he doesn't believe in Jesus, he's going to hell, and they don't have the balls to sit there and tell him that?
Not only tell him that, but give him and his worldwide audience an opportunity to say the little prayer, for God's sake.
Yes, absolutely. And
all right, let's
continue,
Sean.
So
when
why
Larry
only
King
have the little prayer
Jesus
and the little altar call at your own little church or a big church? Why not do it in the masses, you know, if it's true?
Exactly. Okay, go ahead.
They have no confidence in this message at all. They have no confidence in it at all.
Go ahead, Sean.
Just the only way to heaven, he said, that's up to God. Man, I got mad. up to God, he said. What Bible is he reading? Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. No man goes to the Father but by me. I got angry.
We need that. We need to get one of those organs in our background so we can, like, emphasize. But that's awesome. I love that.
Yes.
All right, continue, Sean.
I got so angry, I actually said, who else hung on that cross? I wish I could have gone through that TV set and punched him out. I never felt like punching a preacher out. I would have punched him out and said, Lord, I'm sorry. I would have repented later.
All right, hold on for a second. Here he's joking about physically striking another person. And then he says he would have repented later.
Yeah.
My question would be to Benny, what would happen if you would have died after punching out Joel Osteen, but before having an opportunity to repent? What would happen to you?
Yeah. And why didn't Benny, and if Benny's so ticked off, why didn't he answer Larry King's question? Why didn't he come out and say, Larry King, I have a message for you. You are a Jew who doesn't believe in Jesus. You're going to split hell wide open. Why get all blustery and then still never answer the question that was at hand?
Because he didn't have an organ in the background in the CNN studios in Atlanta or California. He needs that organ in the background.
Well, he had the organ in the background when he was just speaking. That's what I'm saying. Why didn't he say it right then?
Oh, yeah, he could have said it right then. Good point. Let's continue.
How dare they? I said, how dare they to sit on a Larry King program and be so cowardly in case they offend Larry King or his viewers? Who cares about Larry King? And who cares about his viewers? Who cares about these people?
That sounds very loving, doesn't it? Who cares about Larry King? Who cares about his viewers? Who cares about these people? And they're all cheering in the background with the organ playing.
Going to hell. Yay!
Continue, Sean.
I said, don't you? If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father in heaven. That's what the Lord said. If you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. Who else died on that cross, people? Who else rose from the dead? I like to know. Did anybody else die and rise again? Did Muhammad die and rise again? Did Buddha die and rise again? Then who did?
All right, so hold on for a second there. All right, so he says, if you deny me before men, if you're ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of you. Of course, Jesus died on the cross.
All of this, I've got a couple of things to say here. Number one, all of the disciples did exactly what Jesus said, that if you do, he would deny them.
Right.
They denied him, but nothing was said of this when Jesus rose from the dead. You know what? I got some information for Brother Hen. Muhammad did die on the cross.
Oh!
Muhammad did die on the cross. I died on the cross. Benny died on the cross. Larry King died on the cross. See, that's what they're missing.
Yeah.
See, they are making an idol out of the cross instead of letting the cross be the reality of the redemption of the world.
Oh, boy.
The cross is not an idol. The cross is the place where Muhammad did die on the cross.
Yeah.
Who else died on that cross? Well, I got some good information for you, Benny. Muhammad did die on that cross. Every religious leader on this planet died on the cross. The beggars on the street died on that cross. Babies that never made it out of the womb and died or were on that cross. Hitler was on that cross. Mike Williams was on that cross. Glenn Klein was on that cross. The entire human race, that's where they're missing it totally. You see, they're making an idol out of the cross instead of letting the cross be the revelation that solves this whole stupid argument. And here we have rivals, like you said, rising up from evangelical Christianity and in this duel, which is absolutely ridiculous on both sides.
Making the cross the point of conflict.
Yeah.
Instead of the place of peace.
It's instead of the place where the conflict was resolved.
Exactly. Oh, God, that's good. Yes, Muhammad did die on the cross, Benny. Confucius did die on the cross. The
he
Pope
sure
did die on the cross.
Yep.
Joseph Smith died on the cross.
Yep.
Hallelujah. All right, let's continue with this fun.
Only Jesus. I said only Jesus. I said only Jesus. Come on, Charlie. If we keep quiet now, God will judge us. If you preachers want more people in your pews than people in heaven, shame on you. All they care about, these pastors, the seeker-friendly move in America is destroying America, people. Let's just be blunt and say it. Those seeker-friendly churches are not of God. I'm here to tell you, when they are ashamed, when they don't want to offend people, then they don't have the Holy Ghost in there. My brother, who cares if you offend people? Jesus offended people. He offended the Pharisees. They're so scared of saying Jesus in case somebody sues them. Well, then let them be sued. Who cares? Is our God mighty or not? So if they sue you, are you scared? My brother, 2,000 years ago, listen, 2,000 years ago, they didn't just sue them, they killed them. People are afraid of getting sued in case they say Jesus. Yet 2,000 years ago, they were persecuted and killed for declaring his name. I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed, brother. I am not ashamed. How many of you are not ashamed of the gospel? You are never, never going to be ashamed of the gospel.
All right. That's enough of that.
Here he comes to save the day.
Oh, my God. First of all, before we do that, no, let's do it now. Let's welcome our worship leader of the Gospel Revolution from the home offices in Cincinnati, Ohio, Mr. Greg Amberger. Greg!
Glad to see you, Glenn.
He's got the organ ready to go.
I'm trying to figure out how to play it and talk on the phone at the same time.
We can hear it. All right, Mike, here's the question. How are these pastors going to be judged if they keep silent?
Oh, my goodness. Of course not. You know, there's it doesn't make any difference. We always want judgment for the person that we disagree with. The fact of it is that God's disagreement with man was resolved 2,000 years ago. And that disagreement, that conflict was resolved because Jesus took the entire human race to the cross, to the grave, through the resurrection, and ascended into heaven with a whole new human race raised up from its original creation order. And there can't, if God were to judge humans now, God would be judging himself. Because we are one with God. You see, when God created Adam, he created Adam in his image. Do you understand we are no longer in the image of God?
Wait, Mike, you got to get your Pentecostal up a little bit here. Because you're going to get into a good flow of preaching the gospel right now, and I'm going to shut up. But you got to get it, because Greg's ready with the organ, so we got to get it going a little bit here.
So we have this incredible reality that we are no longer created in the image of God. We are one. This has nothing to do. There's a whole new creation that exists, that is in God, that is God, that is completely one with God. We have nothing. We are no longer in the image of God. So you see, the temptation now is all of these guys are presenting this temptation. You know, if somebody's going to be judged, I would think it'd be the person who would say that Jesus was the only one on that cross. Well, Paul would disagree with that. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." And Paul knew he was crucified with Christ. And the reality is that the entire human race needs to get that reality, is that Jesus was not the only one that was on the cross. Jesus took
That's right.
the entire human race to the cross with him.
That is such good news. He said that so defiantly. He said Jesus was the only one on that cross.
Yeah.
He spoke the lie. He said, "Can I be honest with you?" And then he spoke a lie.
Hey, can I add something in here?
Go ahead. I certainly believe you can.
This whole. I mean, Benny Hinn is just one of the most outrageous, preposterous, shyster characters in all the world. His main singer, Steve Brock, used to be my pastor at my church.
Yeah,
and it is so preposterous to think that you need a guy playing the organ in the background to whip the crowd into some sort of fever pitch. You know, it's so preposterous to have somebody playing an organ in 2010 when we all know there's only one reason for it, and that's to incite everybody's emotion.
Yeah.
And it just, those kind of things just made me crazy about Pentecostalism as I was on my way out the door. The night I left my church, you guys have heard Perry Stone, right?
Oh yeah.
This guy on TV.
Perry Stone, one of the great proponents of the so-called end time teaching.
Exactly.
One of the weirdest people you will ever see on TV, with his twitching and his tics. And
yeah, the night I made my exit from the Church of God church that I grew up in. I was playing bass guitar. Perry Stone was there for a big revival meeting. I was about 19 or 20, and he needed the crowd whipped into a fever pitch, and he kept telling me to turn the bass up, turn the bass up, turn the bass up. I mean, he was coming over to me while the choir's singing, saying, "Turn the bass up, turn the bass up," because he knew we needed it to incite the crowd and get them worked into a furor.
Yeah.
And the fact that those guys do that stuff, and they do it with a straight face, or it just drives me crazy. It just makes me want to just scream at all the people that are at the place. Are you a freaking idiot that you let somebody play on your emotions with an organ or a bass guitar or something like
yeah.
that? It's just
well,
crazy.
They learned it from rock and roll.
Well, exactly.
They said that rock and roll was of the devil because of what it made people do. With the bass and the drums, and then
mm-hmm.
it was jungle music, and then they just incorporated it into the church.
And they said, "Wow, it works. Let's do it.
Let's do this here."
That's what they always do. I like organ music. I like the bass.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, but it's these guys are such hypocrites. You talk about pharisaical human beings who are so... And here's a guy who's on the verge of a divorce that's out there. You know, in my search, doing the research with these videos, there's all kinds of exposés on Benny Hinn. Did you see that one I sent to you today, Greg?
Yes.
I got to post that on the Facebook page. This guy exposed Benny Hinn, and he confronted him with a hidden camera and asked Benny Hinn at an airport about a young boy who he said was healed of blindness, and then how Benny was going to send him all over the world, and he was going to pay for his college education. And the guy said to Benny Hinn that the family can't even get in touch with the ministry now. And Benny said, well, I'll be happy to go with you on camera. Because Benny knows once he gets on camera that he's a master of that. And the guy said, well, we've been on camera. And Benny didn't know what to say. He's on television flirting with Paula White, on the verge of divorce. He can't even heal his own marriage. He can't even heal his own wife's thinking, let alone anybody's blind eyes or deaf ears, let alone anything anybody can see. The report on the news today that the Roman Catholic Church is about to beatify a cardinal from the 19th century because some guy said that he prayed to this cardinal and his back got healed. And he's about to become a saint of the Roman Catholic Church.
Well, you know, on that subject, Glenn, you know the famous atheist Christopher Hitchens, did you know that the Catholic Church brought him in to be the devil's advocate in the Inquisition into whether to beatify Mother Teresa because they couldn't find anybody else to do it. And they basically did away with the office that used to be, they played the term actual the devil's advocate because the last pope, John Paul, I believe, wanted to beatify so many people and put things on the fast track. So they eliminated the real test of miracles.
Yeah, you need two miracles.
So
what happened, you know?
Well, obviously Mother Teresa is going to become a saint. That's not in question. So that they had to bring in Christopher Hitchens to testify against her, there weren't a lot of people that were going to question her qualifications, I guess.
Yeah, and since that time, Christopher Hitchens has contracted cancer. And there's actually posts and blogs on the internet, Christians who say they believe in an infinitely loving, forgiving God. There's blogs and arguments as to whether Christians should pray for Christopher Hitchens or not.
Wow.
Bizarre. Michael, the reality is nobody needs to be beatified by the Roman Catholic Church. Everybody's a saint, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, you know, the nice thing is that we've been able to tell Mother Teresa that she was a saint when she was born. You know, it's not determined by men. It was determined by God through the work of the cross, through the work of one man, through the magnificence of a covenant that we were left out of so we could be affected by. And the reality of that is just so powerful. The only way that God could include all of mankind is to exclude all of mankind. And the process of that is so beautiful, and the way he excluded everyone through the law. He excluded everyone through faith. He excluded everyone through belief. He excluded everyone through, take up your cross daily and follow after me. He excluded everyone. And once he declared all to be in unbelief, he had mercy upon all. And this is the basic and glorious reality of the work of the cross. And to hear anyone stand there and rail about the cross and turn it into some form of idol worship instead of the reality that it is that is disturbing, very disturbing to me. But, you know, that's what we have to deal with, and that's why that we share the gospel. That's the reason that I continue to make these CDs and to travel, and we do the webcast, and because there is a wonderful reality about the issue of the fact that we have all been made one, not just with each other. We are one with God, and that powerful truth is the one truth that will stand throughout, regardless of the rantings and ravings of Benny Hinn or the gentle voice of Joel Osteen. It doesn't make any difference whether it's a loud ranting voice or a quiet, gentle voice. A lie is a lie. And the reality that the truth has been completely skipped over in exchange for, and oh my gosh, for Benny to accuse Joel of doing this for numbers of people and money and all of this is quite ridiculous. But, you know, I do believe that this gospel is in every heart. I believe that it is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. I believe that light is there. And the only thing we're doing is helping people to look within and see that light that is already there. We're not trying to train people's eyes up on the hills. We're not trying to train people's eyes upon heaven. We're not trying to train people's eyes upon cross in the Catholic Church or any symbolism of any kind. We're appealing to people to look within. Because there's a glorious reality of there that we are now one together with God through the power of the work of the cross.
And for Benny Hinn to say, to qualify the presence of the Holy Spirit in any way, shape, or form with the reality of man's performance or the opinions of men is an outrage.
Yeah.
And Benny is just as holy as anybody else, just like the rest of us.
Yeah.
But we are going to call it as we see it, beautiful humans. As Michael has taught so beautifully in the recent past, this is not our obligation, but it is our heritage.
Yeah.
And when the preaching of judgment on humanity for behavior, for beliefs, for a lack of faith comes into place, it is our heritage. We get to expose it and then to lift up the truth of the gospel. The good news, there is no bad news in the good news, that all have been made one with God. All are one with God. Yeah, you're not looking to the hills, not looking to the heavens. Look inside yourself. That's where the Holy Spirit resides in every single human being.
Yeah.
That's a good place for some organ music.
I went over and sat down on the couch.
Oh.
So I'm in the pew.
That's right. He's in a place of rest.
That's awesome, fellas. Well, this was fun and great. And, you know, it's so wonderful, as James Gustafson, calling from Saskatchewan earlier, said how important this weekly message and weekly dose of the gospel is, and how uplifting and how much it validates and verifies the truth that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the hearing of the gospel is to the saving of the soul.
Yeah.
It doesn't redeem you one iota, but it does elevate the reality that lives inside of you to your heart and your minds. And it's an important tweaking that we need, if not just weekly, Michael, moment by moment and certainly day by day.
Yes, absolutely.
Cannot encourage you enough to stay focused on it, meditate about it, talk to your friends about it, listen to the webcast, listen to the CDs, think about it, invite Mike to come and talk to you, call us, call a friend, and it's the wonderful thing is that regardless of what venue we're in, we can speak exactly in the same way, whether we would be on a Larry King show or in a meeting of Benny Hinn's followers or Al-Qaeda or Joel Osteen's church or on the web. It doesn't make a difference. The gospel is the gospel.
We can let our yay be yay and our nay be nay.
Exactly. Well, thanks, guys. Thanks to Greg Amberger there in Cincinnati.
Yeah, thanks,
Michael,
Greg. Good
as
to hear
always.
From you.
Glad to have you along, needless
thank
to say.
Thank you very much.
Want to also thank James Gustafson for calling in and our emailers. And if we said before, if we haven't gotten your email yet, just be patient. We will. Want to thank Jeff Robertson for administering this effort and Sean O'Halloran for being the producer, engineer, and call screener extraordinaire. Until we do it again next time, let us hear from you this week. This is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody.